السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So inshallah, like I said, we'll do a shortened seerah program today due to the program at Masjid Abu Bakr. Inshallah, that will be beginning at 2:45. Qari Sahil will be giving a speech, and then Qari Ilyas will be giving a speech, I believe, at 3 o'clock. Inshallah. So we're talking about the Battle of Badr. And I won't do a review today. We'll continue on, inshallah. So one of the miracles, another miracle that was that occurred the night before the battle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah Al-Anfal, ayah number 43 and 44, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, idh yuriikahumullah fi manamik qalila. So where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them few in number in your manam, in your dreams. So we said how the Sahaba, even though it's the night before battle, they're outnumbered, outweaponed, and the Sahaba, you could see as anybody, not knowing if they're going to go back to their families or not. And the Sahaba were able to sleep, have a good night's sleep the night before the battle. And this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sakina was sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In their dreams itself, another miracle occurred where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them the same dream. They all saw the numbers of the enemy, the numbers of the kuffar, as small in number. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah that وَلَوْ أَرَاكَهُمْ كَثِيرًا, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had showed them in large in number, and they were three times the number of the Muslims, if they were shown to you large in number, لَفَشِلْتُمْ وَلَا تَنَازَعْتُمْ, that you would have lost your courage and you would have started arguing, or you could say disagreeing, that should we fight or not? Should we even continue or not? Because they're outnumbering us, basically. And we're here for the caravan, and now it's becoming a full-fledged war or a battle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent in your dream. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ سَلَّمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected you from that by showing this miracle. In the next ayah, وَإِذْ يُرِيكُمُهُمْ, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed you to them, إِذْ الْتَلْقَيْتُمْ, when you, the second time, okay? So first was at the battle, and the next was in the morning, the right before the battle. So you're standing face to face with the enemy, and you're basically looking at the enemy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them in their eyes, again showed in the Muslims' eyes, the enemy was shown as small in number. Again, to give them encouragement, so they don't feel discouraged, that how are we going to fight 3-1, how are we going to do this, but they actually were encouraged further by seeing them small in number. One of the Sahaba by the name of Abdullah ibn Suhail ibn Amr radiallahu anhum, both of them actually became Muslim, his father later on. But Abdullah radiallahu an, he had become Muslim along with his brother Abu Jandal, Al-As. His name was Al-As radiallahu an. And Abdullah, these two brothers had become Muslim. The father, Suhail ibn Amr, was one of the leaders from Mecca. And he actually shackled them and tied them up, shackled them, and they put them under house arrest for many years. And they were tortured, they were beaten, trying to get them to leave their religion. Luckily, alhamdulillah, from the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Abdullah got out of that. But Abu Jandal, we hear of his story, we'll learn about him later on, inshallah. For many years, up to the sixth year of Hudaybiyah, he was shackled in his home and he was tortured, he was beaten by his family members to leave Islam, and he resisted. He kept on persisting, alhamdulillah, with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But his brother, Abdullah, what he had done was, right when he heard about the battle, he heard that they're preparing and they're going to go out and meet the Muslims and fight them. He told his father, Suhail ibn Amr, who was not Muslim at that time, he said that, oh father, I feel like, I changed my mind. Basically, I think I'm going to leave my religion. I want to fight. And this is from the Jahiliyyah thing with tribalism and my family versus them. Even if we're in the wrong, but we're going to go and fight them. So he tells his father that I'm going to go with you. I want to fight with you alongside next to my father and protect you. So the father says, okay, and he's happy to hear this. He actually lets him go. And Abdullah radiallahu anhu goes out with his father. When they get there and they're facing the enemy, meaning the Muslims at that time, they're sitting there, and Abdullah ibn Suhail radiallahu anhu, at that point, he sees his chance, and he actually crosses over and joins the Muslims. He joins the ranks of the Muslims. He actually had tricked his father to get him, let him out so he can get on the battlefield, and he went over to the Muslim side, and that's when Suhail ibn Amr radiallahu anhu realized that my son had tricked me, and that I'm for sure he, that's why Abu Jandal radiallahu anhu was not able to escape for 6 years. He was continuously beaten and whatnot. So that was one of the things that happened right before the battle. Another thing, there was a man by the name of Al-Aswad ibn Abdul Salam, Makhzumi. He made an oath. He said that I will go to the well and I will drink from the water, or I'm going to ruin the well so that the Muslims can't drink from it, or the third option is that I'm going to die. One of these things is going to happen today. So he goes out forward, and Hamza radiallahu anhu, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he comes out and he actually kills this Makhzumi man. He kills him, and he is not able to do what he was planning to do. Another thing was the Mubaraza. So this is Mubaraza, is the duels that take place before the battle, one-on-one duels basically, or a couple of people. And this is before, right before the battle. It's basically just encouragement. The ones that, you know, if your side wins in the Mubaraza, then that encourages you further, so that when you go out in battle, you're going to be, using your best ability. So Abu Jahl, we talked about how he was making fun of Utbah, and he said that you're a coward. Why are you telling people, let's go back to Mecca? He was advising the people, let's go back, let's not fight. You know, how is it that we're going to go back after this battle and we're going to see the killer of my brother? I'll see the killer of my uncle, I'll see the killer of my cousin, my nephew. And how are we going to be able to look each other in the face? So he says to the people, let's go back. But Abu Jahl was really upset about this. He said, you're a coward. And that's when Utbah says his famous words. He says, Ya Musafir Isti, that the one who's behind whistles. So he's passing gas, meaning you're the coward. And we're going to see today who's the actual coward. And these two, Utbah and his brother, Shaybah and Walid ibn Utbah, these three, they come out for the Mubaraza. And at that point, three of the Ansar, they come out. And Utbah says, who are you? We don't recognize you. We want someone who is our equal from the Quraysh. So that's when the Prophet ﷺ calls them back. And we have Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib, radiallahu anhu, Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, and Ubaidah ibn Harith, radiallahu anhu. These three come out. And they're all three relatives of the Prophet ﷺ, close relatives of the Prophet ﷺ. So the uncle, the cousin, and another cousin. They all come out and to fight these three. We know that Hamza radiallahu anhu kills Utbah, Shaybah is also killed, and Walid is also killed. Ubaidah ibn Harith radiallahu anhu, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is actually injured in this Mubaraza during this this duel, and he actually is a shaheed from those wounds later on. So he is one of the 14 Badriyin, the Shuhada of the Badr. He is one of those in those. His name is on there. So these three are killed. Another thing that happens, so let's take a step back. The Prophet ﷺ is encouraging the Muslims before the battle, encouraging to go out and fight and earn Jannah, earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a Sahabi by the name of Umayr ibn Hammam, radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet ﷺ, he's explaining to them, he's giving them encouragement, and he says, قُومُوا إِلَىٰ جَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ, that go and stand up and go fight, go forward to Jannah, which is the vastness is of the heavens and the earth, even wider, but the vastness of the heavens and the earth. And this Sahabi, Umayr ibn Hammam, radiallahu anhu, he at this point, he says, بَخِنْ بَخْ. Basically, this is you could say like words of joy. Bakhin bakh means, you know, like how beautiful and how amazing. So he says these words, and the Prophet ﷺ says, "Ma hamalaka ala qawlika bakhin bakh?" Why did you say these words? He says, "Ya Rasulullah, rajan an akuna min ahliha," that I want to be from those people. I want to be from the people of Jannah. So the Prophet ﷺ says, وَأَنْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا, you are from those people. Meaning, he gives them glad tidings. So we have the Ashra Mubashireen Bil Jannah, you know, the 10 that were given glad tidings in one hadith. And there's many other hadith where different sahaba were given glad tidings of Jannah. So it's not just those 10 sahaba, but there were other sahaba were given glad tidings of Jannah. And this is Umayr ibn Hammam radhiallahu anhu being one of them. So the Prophet says, فَإِنَّكَ مِنْ أَهْلِيَا, you are from the people of Jannah. And he sits there and he takes out a bag of dates. Now he's eating, and this, I like to compare this to, nowadays we have these pre-workout things, you know, these chemicals and full of caffeine and chemicals and whatnot, pre-workout mixture and stuff. You put in water and your heartbeat starts going up and you feel like you want to kick on the world, right? So he takes out a bag of dates. So I'm telling you not to eat that stuff. That stuff is going to kill you. It's not bad for you. It's not good for you. But dates is a full package. It has, and Dr. Saab can tell you, you can ask anybody, the benefit of dates. It has protein, it has, you know, fiber, it has sugar, it has everything. And that's why, one of the reasons why the Prophet has taught us that when you break the fast, first thing we start off with is dates. Okay, so this sahabi, he takes out a bag of tamarat, he starts eating the dates, and then he starts to think, and he's talking to himself. So the sahabi who's narrating this hadith, he's basically closing his tongue, that he starts talking to himself. He says, لَأَنْ أَنَا حُحِيد, that if I am allowed to live, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me life long enough, حَتَّى أَكُلَ التَّمَرَاتِ, that until I finish this bag of dates, إِنَّهَا لَحَيَاتٌ طَوِيلَ, this is a long life. This is too long of a life. So he takes those bag and he puts it to the side, he throws it to the side, grabs a sword, and he goes out into the thick of battle, and he is martyred. He goes to, he goes towards that Jannah, and he fights for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's one of those who are martyred at that point, and he becomes a shaheed. Now another, and I'm trying to hurry through this, inshallah, another incident that happened, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu, and this is in Sahih Bukhari, he says that when I was staying there, and this is when the lines were being put up, they were getting stationed, you know, who's going to be on the right flank, the left flank, the middle flank, and who they're going to stand next to, and what they're going to do. They're standing in lines. And he says that, as I did that, فَنَذَرْتُ عَنْ يَمِينِ, I looked to my right, and I looked to my left. And I saw these two young boys. And these two young boys, and he starts thinking to himself, how I wish I had someone older and stronger, you know, next to me. Because in battle, you have to be able to protect each other. It's not just a one-on-one thing. It's like a group effort. You're protecting each other, you know. If someone, you're watching someone's back, if someone's about to attack them. Same thing like in basketball, for example, when you're doing a pickup game. And if you're not picked up in the first game, then you're like looking, you know, all the other guys who are left. How are we going to even win a game? The same way, you need to have a good team. So he's looking and he's thinking to himself, I wish I had someone stronger next to me. And he says that one of them, he calls me, he basically pulls on me, tugs on me. And he says to him that, هَلْ تَعْرِفْ أَبَا جَهَلْ, do you know who Abu Jahl is? And Abdurrahman radhiallahu anhu says, yes, na'am. He says, I know who he is. He says, مَا حَاجَكَ إِلَيْكَ, we're like, what is your haja? Ma hajatuka ilayh, what is your, you know, what do you want from him? Why are you asking about him? He says that ukhbirt annahu yasubbu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that I heard that he swears and he says bad things about my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Walladhi nafsi biyadi, and I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la in ra'aytuhu, that if I see him, la yufariqu sawadi sawada, that my shadow will not leave his shadow. Meaning I will not let him go. حَتَّى يَمُوتَ الْأَعْجَلْ مِنَّا, meaning that the one who is more quick, the one who is better, you know, better at fighting, or the one who is quicker, will not, until I die, basically, or until he dies. This, I'm not going to leave him until I die. And the Abdurrahman narrating this hadith, he says, فَتَعَجَّبْت, I was like amazed, like this young boy, he's probably, what, 16, 17 years old. Remember we said the people who were the Sahaba, like Abdurrahman, Abdullah ibn Umar, Al-Bara ibn Azib, different Sahaba who were under the age when they were like 14, 12, 13, 14 years old. They were too young to fight. The Prophet ﷺ has sent them back at a place called Bir Abi Inaba. The Prophet ﷺ had sent them back. So these were Sahaba who were a little bit older. So you could say he's maybe 16, 17, something like that, around that age. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he's amazed at the courage of this young boy. And he says at that point, the next one, the one on his left, said the same thing. He said, he asked me, where's Abu Jahl? And he says the exact same words that the one on the other side had said. And he said that while we were there, and then I saw, while we were fighting, Abu Jahl came. He was apparently, remember, Abu Jahl was a tall man. He was a big man. And he was, you know, tough. He's so Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he says that's Abu Jahl. That's the one you were asking about. And he says that both of them, they just like that, they went straight towards Abu Jahl and they started fighting him until they killed him, until he was cut down. And we'll learn later, inshallah, maybe next dars, what Abu Jahl, he still had a few breaths left in him. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhiallahu was the one who actually killed him, finalized his death. But he was still alive. But these two went there. And when they came back after the battle, they actually both went to the Prophet ﷺ and they said, I killed Abu Jahl. And the other says, no, I killed him. And the Prophet ﷺ says, do you wipe your swords? Are your swords clean? They said, no, the blood stain is still there. The Prophet ﷺ looks at the swords. He says that both of you have killed Abu Jahl. So this is one of the incidents that happened during the battle. Another one, and I'll inshallah finish with this. This is, again, when the sufuf were being made. The Sahaba are lining up for battle, and the Prophet ﷺ is going, like the Imam before the prayer, the Imam says, Istawu, okay? So basically make a straight line, you know, shoulder to shoulder, and, you know, stand in straight lines. And the Prophet ﷺ is going through the battle lines and through to the Sufuf and making sure that they're standing in straight lines. And he had in his hand, some say it was an arrow, some say it was a miswak stick. So maybe, you know, pretty long stick, and a miswak in his hand. And as he's doing this, there was a sahabi by the name of Sawad ibn Ghaziyya. Sawad ibn Ghaziyya radhiallahu anhu, who was standing a bit forward. He was standing a bit forward, out of line. So the Prophet ﷺ took the miswak and he poked him a little bit. He said, Istawi ya Sawad, go back, make a straight line. And Sawad radhiallahu anhu, at this point, he found his opportunity. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, he starts acting, he starts saying, oh, you know, you awja'tani, that you hurt me. I'm hurt, you know, that miswak, you just poked me really hard. So Rasulullah says to him, yeah, here, take the miswak, and you can take your retribution right now. Because remember, the Prophet does not want to leave anything for the hereafter. So he says, here, take this, and you can take your retribution. So Sawad, radiallahu anhu, he says, no, Rasulullah, I have no shirt on, and you have a shirt on. So the Prophet says, here, he lifts his shirt, he goes, go ahead. And now the Sahaba all are watching and seeing what's going to happen next. You know, how dare he disrespect the Prophet, not just the army, leader of the army, but he's the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how dare he do this? They're all looking in amazement and seeing what's going to happen next. And Sawad radhiallahu anhu, at that point, instead of poking the Prophet back or hitting the Prophet, he goes and he hugs the Prophet, the abdomen of, and he starts kissing the abdomen of the Prophet. And Rasulullah, he says to him that, you know, ma hamalaka ala hada ya Sawad radhiallahu anhu. He says, what made you do this? Why did you do this? So he says that you didn't hurt me. I was pretending, and I did this because you see the situation that we're in. We're outnumbered. We have less weapons. We don't have, you know, enough supplies. And I don't know if I'm going to live after this day or not. I don't know if I'm going to go back to Medina Munawwara with you or not. So he said that the last thing that I touch in this world, that my jild touches your jild, that my skin touches your jild. And this shows the immense love the Sahaba had for the Prophet ﷺ. So he says that I just made this whole show so I can touch you one more time. That I don't know if I'm going to live after this or not. So we give, you know, look at the love the Sahaba had for the Prophet ﷺ, and that what they gave and what they sacrificed for the Prophet ﷺ. And this is something that we need to understand and implement in our lives. You know, not just. We're in Rabiul Awwal now, and alhamdulillah, it's good, yes, to remind ourselves of the love of the Prophet ﷺ and talk about the Prophet ﷺ, talk more, you know, have lectures, but it shouldn't be restrained to just this month. It shouldn't be just Bara Rabiul Awwal. It shouldn't be just this Rabiul Awwal. It should go continuously the whole year. And we should back up that love, inshallah ta'ala, with action. with actually getting up for Fajr on time, getting up and listening to our parents when we don't want to do something that they ask us to do, we actually go ahead and do it. And when we sacrifice what we our luxuries and our raha and our ease and stuff and comfort for the sake of others, inshallah ta'ala, we'll see that we will be of the people of the true iman. Like the Prophet said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخي ما يحب لنفسه. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that you will not become a true mu'min until you love for your brother or your sister what you love for yourself. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq, inshallah, to understand this and to implement this in our lives. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. جزاكم الله.